Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Tell me a little bit about Mark McGwire. You were there when he hit his 800th home run or whatever the hell it was.
That season, home run number 800. It was a special moment. It was home run number 62.
Yeah.
It was in September of 98. And, you know, I think we're all a little bit wiser as to what was going on at the time. But, you know, even thinking back on it now, it doesn't take any of the fun away or the thrill from going through that season. He's there. He hits the home run. Sosa's there. They hug. You know, McGwire's hugging everybody. I hugged him. I got ripped for it after the game. It was great. It was a nice night.
And then now, as you say, looking back on it with what we know, it was like watching professional wrestling a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, when you think about performance-enhancing drugs, I think there's a report that came out in this last week that certain guys are taking Viagra now to get an extra couple of levels of kick off whatever performance-enhancing drugs they're on, which I think for them is great. And for us, it's great because they should be easy to spot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You're right. Very insightful.
Easy to spot. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're not going to see a lot of head first slides anymore.
No, that's right.
Now, would your dad have said something like that?
No.
No, he would not have said anything.
No, he's crying somewhere in the great beyond right now.
Well, it's great to have you here, and have a great All-Star game. You excited about that?
It's going
to
be great. They're actually going to invite all the living Hall of Famers to Yankee Stadium. Last year, Yankee Stadium.
They come out and stand next to the current
players? Stand next to the current players. It'll be an emotional moment, and probably even more emotional when they tell all the current Hall of Famers they have to get out because the seats are too expensive
exactly
and they can't watch the game.
That's right.
Thanks for the opening ceremonies and goodbye.
Yeah, that's right. We should have stuck with the Viagra. But God bless you, Joe.
God bless you,
Dave. And keep up the great tradition of great sportscasters coming out of St. Louis,
Thank you very much.
We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
August 30th, 2021, here at JaceyOnTheLine.com. The big story yesterday, Ed Asner from Lou Grant and the Pixar movie Up. That scene at the beginning of that movie where they show the lifelong history of the marriage of the old guy and his wife who passed away, and he's got the balloons on his house and everything. It was one of the greatest scenes ever. I remember specifically bringing that up at a meeting of the St. Louis Film Critics Association when that movie came out, because one of the categories that we had at the time was best scene. You know, because you have the votes for best picture and best supporting actor and actress and all that sort of stuff. But we added a couple of categories, which I think was a good idea, you know, because there's a lot of movies that are not at the very end when you have to say, okay, as a whole, here we go. It's a, you know, 4 out of 5 or a 3 out of 5 or an 8 out of 10 or whatever the case may be, with the 2 thumbs up and all that business. There's a lot of movies that, you know, don't survive that test, you know, and only end up with a 2.5 out of 5, but also have a couple of tremendous scenes. Now, in the case of Pixar's movie Up, it was a great movie, but that scene, that sequence is just amazing. Of course, Lou Grant, Mary Tyler Moore Show. If you check my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you will see not only the cover of a script, which is autographed by Mary Tyler Moore, but also I picked out one of the pages and ran that too from the Chuckles the Clown episode, largely regarded as one of the greatest episodes in episodic comedy ever. It is fantastic. So all of that is on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, Lou Grant, Ed Asner. Well, 3 Emmys for the Mary Tyler Moore Show, 2 more for Lou Grant, making him one of only 2 actors to win a comedy and drama Emmy for playing the same role. I didn't know that. I never got a chance to interview him, but was a big admirer of his work. And then you have the hurricane, because there were a lot of people going, I bet you nothing happens. It's like, Okay, yeah, it was practically a level 5 hurricane going in to the coast of Louisiana, and the storm surge apparently was so intense that it caused the flow of the Mississippi River near New Orleans to flow to go backwards. It was going backwards. The U.S. Geological Survey said that's extremely uncommon. A lot of people pointed out the last recorded time that that ever happened was when the New Madrid Fault went over 100 years ago, although a lot of the news organizations were mispronouncing the name New Madrid. Can't necessarily blame them. Anybody know how to pronounce this? Well, it's Madrid. Oh, New Madrid. Matter of fact, I don't even know how you can argue that they're mispronouncing it in New Madrid, but they live there, so I guess they get a chance to call it whatever they want. Here's one of those things I don't totally understand. It's National Beach Day. It's not that I don't understand National Beach Day. It's that why would you have it on August 30th? You know, I associate going to the beach with the middle of summer. And how can you have National Beach Day when all the kids are in school? And the beach, really, when it comes down to it, is for kids. So did you make it to the beach this summer? A recent survey asked people how often they go to the beach, and a lucky 2% of Americans say they go to the beach every day. The most popular answer was once a summer or once a year. 47% said one or two of those. Another 19% said every few years, and 7% of us have never been to the beach. I find these numbers absolutely startling. People go to the beach only once a year? Well, that's what's wrong with this country, for heaven's sakes. You know, have you ever felt bad after you spent an afternoon at the beach? No, maybe a little sunburned, maybe tired and a little sticky and stuff like that, but you know, it's exhilarating. Well, there you go right there. We solved the problem of uptight Americans. Get to the goddamn beach more often. The poll also found our favorite thing to drink at the beach is water, followed by lemonade, beer, soda, and daiquiris. Our favorite sunscreen brands are Banana Boat, Copper Tone, and Hawaiian Tropic, but about 1 in 8 people say they never wear sunblock. And finally, 29% of people have gotten frisky at the beach before, and another 43% want to. That's one of those things like using whipped cream during sex. It just sounds like a great idea. And then you forget that anything made of dairy that's not refrigerated and is, you know, out in room temperature, after a few minutes, it really starts to smell unpleasant. And then if you add the heat from the lights you're using for the video camera. Good morning, everybody. But don't celebrate National Beach Day like this. 34-year-old woman named Christina Rebels Glick was recently caught pleasuring herself on a beach near Savannah, Georgia. She laid out a towel, sat down on it, took out a vibrating love toy out of her backpack, and went to town. It sounds like there weren't a lot of people around, but it happened in broad daylight. At least one person did see it and called the cops. Now, why would you do that? Why would you call the police? Unless there were some kids around, or unless what? I don't know. You'd walk by, and I'm sure you'd come to your own conclusions, you know, one of which would be this woman's crazy. Well, why? You're Karen now? You're going to call the police? Oh, wait, let me finish here. It says they could hear what was going on, and it was going on for a few minutes, and she was really loud about it. Police tracked Christina down at a nearby bar. Imagine that. So it sounds like she'd taken a break from drinking to go do her thing. She admitted to it, but she thought it wasn't really a big deal because, quote, it only took her 20 seconds. That's some fast work. They charged her with indecent exposure and disorderly conduct. There is a photograph of her here. I have not seen this yet. I'm going to look at it right now. Oh, well, that's not too bad. I was expecting a real... I don't know what I was expecting, but it's much better than I would have imagined. Huh. Which is even further reason not to call the police. Call your friends, maybe. I'm surprised there's nothing posted on social media about it. That's what most people, I think, would do, pull out their cell phones. If you've ever scrolled through the comments section of controversial articles on social media, well, you've come across several online trolls. A new study looked at it and found that people don't become nastier on the internet just because they're anonymous. Instead, it found that jerks on the internet are actually jerks all the time, including in real life. The internet is just a massive megaphone for him. It makes him more visible than in real life. Naturally, the researchers honed in on politics. The data showed that the jerks in those threads were predisposed to aggressive, status-seeking behavior, and people who are mean to you online would be equally mean to you offline, face-to-face. It's worth pointing out that the study focused on real people and didn't address the fake accounts by trolls who are deliberately working to stoke things. A lot of people are on online dating sites, and if you've tried everything, you've spent countless hours trying to make connections, ended up with nothing, you could always just start your own dating website featuring just you. And it's a kid from St. Louis, Colin O'Brien. Not Conan O'Brien, but Colin O'Brien struck out on the major dating apps, and he was drained because it was exhausting trying to be funny and unique, trying to stand out among all the other guys. So he started his own website called DateColinO'Brien.com. And 10 days ago, he posted it on Facebook on a group called Date Ideas and Things to Do in St. Louis. The site is elaborate. He sells merchandise, and there's bio filled with honest information, like his height, his weight, his tax bracket, the fact he's vaccinated, his zodiac sign, his Harry Potter house, and his pros and cons. The pros include his sense of humor, his love of tennis, and his good regular hygiene. The cons include needing to be liked by everyone, bad at tennis, not particularly stylish, and a crippling fear of medical procedures. And it worked! He's already heard from nearly 200 eligible women. He has 13 dates lined up. Maybe it's the girl on the beach with the vibrator, huh? He couldn't be that lucky. Oh, and speaking of dating, there's a new dating trend. It's called roaching. It's the new term for when you find out somebody's cheating on you with a ton of other people. Cheating with one or two people doesn't count. It has to be more than that. So they're real serial cheaters, and you know, people have been seeing a bunch of other people behind your back. It's called roaching because of that gross feeling you get when you turn on the lights in a room and see roaches scatter. So the people they're cheating with are the roaches, not the person you're dating, which seems a little bit unfair. I don't know. When you finally make a particular connection, it always seems to come down to, well, what you got going on down there, mister? There have been studies that say the size of a guy's junk doesn't really matter. So I guess take this with a grain of salt. A new study in England found the length of a guy's manhood might matter after all. Researchers had men in relationships wear big silicone rings around their junk that effectively made it shorter by preventing them from thrusting as far as they normally would. They used four sizes that decreased the length by different amounts. The biggest one cut it down to a full 2 inches. Their partner had to rate how pleasurable each sex session was without knowing which ring the guy had on. And sex with the biggest ring was rated as 38% less pleasurable. A few women in the study thought it was more pleasurable, though, so it's obviously not a one-size-fits-all thing. I would like to know who the people are that willingly participate in something like this. And by the way, on a serious note, everything that I've read and seen posted and discussed and, you know, various things like that, including, I would also say, my own experience, it's girth that women are looking for. And as far as I know, while, you know, some men will spend, you know, gobs of money on stuff to make it longer, they really should be working on making it wider. And although I don't think there's anything that can do that, this show is so educational. I think we're just going to have to say goodbye to Eric Clapton. That's it. He's gone just fucking crazy. You know, you just hate to see something like this. It's such a shame. You know, the guy is so revered. Well, I mean, I don't have to tell you. The guy's revered in the music industry. You know, the whole Clapton is God thing. And everything that he's been saying publicly in the last couple of years has been a little on the nutty side. It sounds like some old man on a park bench, you know, just screaming about socialism. And all of his anti-vaxxing rhetoric apparently wasn't enough to satisfy him, so now he's done a song. He's put that out. I'm sure he'll be singing it at Trump rallies before we know. Oh, back to the hurricane for a minute. You know, you're fucked when Jim Cantore shows up. When Jim Cantore shows up, you're like, that's it. Get out the bottled water and the rations and turn on the generator. We're screwed. You know, the first guy, I really think it's the first guy who ever did it, was Dan Rather. When I say it, I'm talking about like holding on to something in the midst of a hurricane and showing the video of the whole thing rattling and you're holding on to the sign for dear life so that you're not swept out into the ocean. And now, of course, everybody does it. And there have been very entertaining videos that show people in electronic media standing there, you know, waist deep in water, but then they show you the rest of the video that didn't go out over the air and they walk a couple of feet. And it's totally dry. At least Cantore yesterday, while he was standing in the midst of the whole thing, walked a couple of feet, and then he said, you know, see right here. See, it's fine, which brings up the obvious question, why didn't you just do your live shot from there? Well, because you got a producer screaming at you in your earplugs, and we need something dramatic. Go stand in the water. And the same thing with the wind. So everybody does the wind thing now, although Cantore was wearing a baseball helmet yesterday. Complete, you know, with the ears on it and everything like that. So he's not stupid. Remember Juan Encarnacion? This is a pretty decent player for the Cardinals going back, what, 15 years or so? And he was the guy who was standing in the on-deck circle not paying attention. Somebody fouled off a ball right into his face. That was not only the end of his baseball career, but I don't know that anybody's heard anything about him since all that. Well, he has fallen on even worse times than that, because now it turns out, I think it's in the Dominican somewhere, he's being charged with molesting his own daughter. Apparently been arrested and everything like that. We don't know any details, and I'm not sure I want any more. We have word that the Kurt Warner movie is going to be released on Christmas Day. This is a full-length motion picture that you're going to watch in the theaters. Needless to say, it is a remarkable story. Absolutely remarkable, because I even remember having New York sports writers on, ESPN guys, during the Sosa-McGuire home run chase, and which, of course, was going on right about the same time that the Kurt Warner stuff was going on with the Rams. And I remember asking these New York guys, you know, what is a bigger deal? Mark McGuire approaching, at that time, we thought maybe 60 home runs. So is it that, or is it the Kurt Warner story? And every single one of them said, absolutely, the Kurt Warner story. No question about it. Not even a contest. I would caution you not to get too excited about this, though, because this is a Christian movie. It is directed, in fact, by two Christian brothers, and they do these faith-based movies, and that is, as far as I'm concerned, the kiss of death. It won't be made well. It'll be heavy-handed. It'll be a movie for the Christian audience, and for the Christian audience only, mark my words. Don't look now, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, the laughing stock of the National Football League, pretty much since their inception, all of a sudden is a pretty good team with a pretty good rookie quarterback, and there's a lot of people going, watch the F out on this. Don't, just don't automatically write off the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I know there's a lot of people who still think, because Shad Khan is from upstate Illinois, and that maybe he'd get tired of playing in Jacksonville and play in St. Louis, which is closer to his hometown. And I still don't think that's going to happen, and especially not now, because if Jacksonville starts putting butts in the seats, starts playing better, say goodbye to that idea. I personally don't think St. Louis is ever going to get another football team. When you lose a team, that's one thing. When you lose two teams, even those of no, not necessarily anything we did wrong, because as I was trying to tell everybody throughout this whole thing, Stan Kroenke was trying to make it look like this was a fair fight, like St. Louis was seriously being considered for the future home of the St. Louis Rams, when we all knew, and I knew, and I said it all along, that this decision had been made several years earlier, and that he had no intentions of staying in St. Louis. Look how much money we spent just on designing the stadium and trying to come up with some sort of a, you know, quote-unquote business plan for the next couple of decades for Stan Kroenke. We spent all that, what is it, something like, I don't know, $20 million? And, you know, we got that lawsuit. City of St. Louis is going up against him. And, you know, Kroenke has exhausted all of his legal maneuvers to try to get the thing dismissed. And it's not going to be dismissed. And he's been in a couple of court situations here in recent years, and City of St. Louis has won every one of them. So now the thing either has to be settled or it's going to go to trial. If it goes to trial, which I don't think Kroenke is dumb enough to allow to happen, but if it did, people like the disgustingly snakish Kevin Demoff is going to feel like Andy Dufresne after the first half of the Shawshank Redemption. Don't start me on that Cardinal game yesterday. Oh, for God's sakes. You know, we're only 3.5 out in the wild card. Still have Matt Carpenter in the lineup. I know he got a hit yesterday, surrounded by a lot of strikeouts again. The great Javi Baez traded from the Chicago Cubs to the New York Mets, and the fans have been booing the team during their recent slump, so players have been fighting back by giving them a thumbs down when they get a hit. But the team says the fans have a right to boo and that this will not be tolerated. Javi Baez says, "It just feels bad when I strike out and get booed. I want to let them know that when we are successful, we're going to do the same thing to let them know how it feels." He said, "I play for the fans and I love the fans, but if they're going to do that, they're just putting more pressure on the team. That's not what we want. Unfortunately, this celebration might not last a lot longer." The president of the Mets organization, Sandy Alderson, issued a statement last night saying, quote, "These comments and these gestures by him or other players with a similar intent are totally unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Fans at Citi Field have a right to express their own disappointment. Booing is every fan's right," end quote. Two players in the Little League World Series got caught on video looking at a picture of a woman with giant boobs on one of their cell phones. And for the series itself, Michigan beat Ohio yesterday for the title. Most people have no idea how often and how much they are being manipulated. Radio stations do it. Television stations do it. Do you ever channel surfing? And it's like you're watching the news, for example, and you say, oh, they went to commercials. Let me go to the other station. And that one's in commercials, too. And you go, all right, let me go to the next one. And that one's in commercials, too. That's not an accident. That's not a coincidence. That's by design. Certain stories, certain segments, you know, like the news or the sports or the weather, whatever the case may be, are positioned in the half hour from 10 to 10:30 for specific reasons. It is the stations attempting to game the system. And it would sometime I'll lay the whole thing out for you and see if I can even explain it to you. For people who aren't in the business, it would be very difficult to understand. But trust me, it is going on. The reason movie trailers, sometimes you'll be sitting there and you go, well, they're using a song that I recognize here, but it's not running at the right speed. That is by design as well. Hearing the familiar lyrics in a song that's not immediately familiar suddenly makes you pay attention. It's called trailerizing, and they are deliberately slowing down the music for that purpose. Late night tonight, nothing. Got Labor Day coming up this weekend, and so everybody is still gone, including Colbert, who was gone for 2 weeks, came back, worked for 1 week, and now, starting tonight, is in the second week of another vacation. I love you, Stephen, but you're pissing me off. Kid Rock canceled his shows over the weekend because half of his band caught COVID. Candyman just became the first movie directed by a black woman to be number one at the box office. Marvel co-stars Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans are going to co-star in a romantic comedy action adventure called Ghosted. Eddie Murphy and Jonah Hill are doing a comedy together. Tim Burton's new Addams Family series, Wednesday, added some new cast members, including Thora Birch. She was the young woman who lived next door to the kid in the Kevin Spacey movie American Beauty. She is the daughter of Carol Connors, who was a porn star back in the 1970s and would frequently be on the set doing silly stuff with Chuck Barris on the old Gong Show. And Tito Jackson says the family might record some music featuring unreleased stuff that Michael left behind. It's going to be his outgoing message and his answering machine. Can we make that into a song? All right, birthdays today. Andy Roddick, retired tennis stud, who is married to swimsuit cover girl Brooklyn Decker, who was cast aside by Leonardo DiCaprio when she, you know, turned 18 or something. She got too old for him. Andy Roddick, 39 today. Cameron Diaz, 49. Michael Chiklis from The Shield, 58. Louis Black, furious comic from The Daily Show, 73. Warren Buffett, 91 and worth $96 billion. Billy Bob Thornton's brilliant movie Sling Blade premiered at the Colorado Telluride Film Festival on this date, 25 years ago today. The movie went on to earn Billy Bob an Oscar for Best Screenplay. And it was 28 years ago today. The year was 1993. 23 million homes tuned in to the CBS debut of The Late Show with David Letterman. Less than half that many people watched The Tonight Show that night with Jay Leno. Billy Joel was Dave's first musical guest. We had the pleasure of interviewing Dave on the phone, by satellite, and in person a number of times. And that number, I think, is 12. The best one, though, was in the late 90s, and they called me up and they said, Dave would like to talk to you. We're going to fly you to New York. You'll sit there, you'll watch the show from his office, and then when the show's over, you bring in your camera crew, and Dave will give you 10 minutes. Well, Dave gave me 23 minutes because we were laughing and having a good old time, and Dave was waxing nostalgic about, of all things, the great state of Missouri. David Letterman, our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day.
Well, Dave, you're the only inspiration left in a business that doesn't have much. I'll tell you that. This is a very unattractive time to be in our business.
Yeah. And it's television, you know, television. The problem is anybody can be on television. When I started in television, and probably yourself as well, it seemed like, oh, no, there must be a test. At the very least, there's probably some kind of verbal exam. There must be questions you have to answer. There must be a registration or a licensing process. But it turns out, of course, there isn't. So all manner of idiots like myself get to be on TV, and we've ruined it. You know, Ed Murrow. Now, there was a guy. Ed Murrow should have been doing everything. Ed Murrow, Ed Sullivan, anybody else named Ed in those days? Mr. Ed. Those
Ed Hurley.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, the voice of Kraft. Those are the kind of guys that should have been in broadcasting and should have been in broadcasting today. But now it's punks like me, like you. We're watering the pool.
Well said. Well, earlier this month you began your 15th year. What do you think you know about people, about television, about America after 14 years of doing this?
I know that America is, without question, the greatest land on the planet. And you know this, it comes to you subtly, and it comes to you in certain ways that perhaps you find incredulous. But nonetheless, it happens to be true. And it's reinforced to me and for me each and every night, because I visit with the people who come in to the studio audience, and you understand that the energy and the interest and the intelligence of this people collectively is a microcosm of what's at large in a greater sense. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me. I know, but it has no meaning, does it? About halfway through that, I realized I have no clue.
Well, in the show's infancy, the critics liked the show, and they liked you, and they liked the comedy. They were very critical of your interviewing skills. When you look back at those, no, you remember. That's what they said.
Yeah, I can't do interviews.
When you look at those old shows compared to now, you are in very, very much command of the whole interviewing situation.
I still stink. Just between you and me, I still stink.
No.
It's not an interview show. The purpose of the show is we get somebody on there, we loosen them up with a couple, oh, I enjoyed the film, or it's so nice to see it, and then bang, 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 we go to work on them. That's no interview. If you want an interview, go, you know, get yourself on Koppel. There's an interview. Go see Donahue. Go see Oprah. Go see some of those folks. We're just kids screwing around trying to have fun.
Yeah, I don't know why, but people seem to be surprised when they find out that somebody like yourself has actually been to their community. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought somewhere along the line you had spent some time, maybe as a kid in college or something, coming through St. Louis?
It was a great experience for me. It was kind of a landmark experience. It was kind of one of those focusing moments in your life, because to me, Gateway to the West actually meant something. In 1975, I loaded up my 1973 Chevrolet three-quarter ton pickup with all my earthly, worldly belongings and headed west on I-70. And when I got to St. Louis, it actually, crossing the river, it was actually, you know, kind of a moving, it was just like a, oh my gosh, here I am. I really am going west. And I that was the first time I'd been in Missouri. And I have to tell you, I was so impressed. Of all of the, there were three states that really impressed me making that journey. Missouri was the first one, because Indiana going west, it's flat, it's cornfield. And then you get into Missouri, and the eastern third of Missouri, beautiful, lush, rich, black, dark soil, and a nice rolling terrain. The topography is beautiful. And I can remember being captivated by, wow, this is the way Indiana should have been. Now, there are very nice parts of Indiana that are sort of like that, but Missouri was heartbreakingly beautiful. And then I was impressed also with Texas because of its enormity, just endless horizons. And then when we got to New Mexico, I mean, it really is the land of enchantment. And those three states really got my attention. And also Kansas kind of fools you, because for the first, 50, 60 miles of Kansas, it looks like Missouri. You think, well, this is great. And then, of course, the bottom drops out. And for the next 2,000 miles, it's just, wow, where? What is this? It's flat, and we're going 100 miles an hour here, and we're still not making time.
And by the way, I promise we won't go to their house or anything, but you have relatives in St. Louis, do you not?
I have, let me get this correct. I have a niece and her husband living in St. Louis. Yeah, they moved there from Cincinnati. They love it.
Someday I'm going to dig out some of the older David Letterman interviews that I did, a lot of them by phone. They are absolutely hilarious. But that one was just so great because we're just sitting there face-to-face up in Dave's office. We were supposed to go 10 minutes. Morty was standing there, you know, looking at his watch. It's 15 minutes. It's 20. It's 23 minutes. Morty's like, I want to go home. But we were having a good time. And so there you go. And thank you to Dave. And thank you to all of yous. We are here every weekday morning at 7 a.m. and you can binge listen whenever you want because we archive all of our podcasts. They're absolutely free, and please continue to spread the word. Let people know that we're here every morning doing this. Email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.